Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew is once again thanking you and welcoming you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. The day's date is Saturday, February 20th, 2016, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you another rocking and ultra-exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. We are back again, hooking you up with the highest quality OTR surprises that are within our powers to produce. Without any further delays, allow me to introduce the presenter for tonight's program. And she just so happens to be an old veteran here around the accessible world and old-time radio circles. And she really needs no introduction. If you haven't guessed already, yep, you are going to be treated to a stern lesson by the MSS librarian. Yep, JJ Jackson is back at it again and doing her thing her own way. So, if everyone could just please sit back, enjoy your favorite drinks and snacks, and let's get ready to hear the program. Joy, the microphone is yours.
Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Well, partners, tonight we've got some tales of the Old West. First off is a tale about true events back in Tombstone, Arizona. It's just before the time of the OK Corral. Billy Breckenridge, the new deputy, is assigned an unpleasant task. Here's Chuck Wagon Tales and the story we call Collecting Taxes Out West.
American Radio Theater presents a new episode of Chuck Wagon Tales, written and produced by Joy Jackson.
Hi, this is the Old Ranger. Our tale tonight is about collecting taxes out west. Well, southwest. Tombstone, Arizona, to be precise. There was more going on there than just the fight at the OK Corral. 2 years after it was founded in 1879, Tombstone boasted a bowling alley, four churches, an ice house, a school, two banks, three newspapers, and an ice cream parlor, alongside 110 saloons, 14 gambling halls, and numerous dance halls and brothels. All of these were on top of a large number of hard scrabble mines. The townsfolk were all Republicans, while the folks on the ranches and the cowboys were Southern sympathizers and Democrats. And needless to say, they didn't get along. Johnny Behan, the sheriff, called his deputy, 35-year-old Billy Breckenridge, into his office.
You want her to see me, sir?
Billy, I need you to do something. You've been in the job for a week now.
Oh, that's right. Have I done something wrong?
You've done a fine job. By now, it's time to collect taxes.
Taxes? You're pulling my leg. I'm a lawman, not a tax collector.
And where do you think the money comes from that pays our salaries, sunshine? How do you think it makes it into our pockets? You think I print it in the back room?
Oh, from the bank, I guess.
If we don't get the taxes, then we don't get paid. Simple as that. I haven't been able to get a single cent out of all those hombres out in Galeyville.
Galeyville? Well, that's where I have to go to collect these taxes. Galeyville? Where most of the rustlers hang out, the cowboys?
Nowadays, the word cowboy is very close to the word hero. A man dealing with everything having to do with horses, cows, and weather by himself. But that hasn't always been true. Tombstone, Arizona was, and still is, a mere 30 miles from the Mexican border. Smuggling was frequent. Tobacco, alcohol, and above all, cattle. Rustling cattle was a way of life on both sides of the border. Much of the smuggling was carried on by a loosely organized band of friends and acquaintances who teamed up for mayhem and came to each other's aid. The San Francisco Examiner wrote in an editorial, "Cowboys, the most reckless class of outlaws in that wild country." In Cochise County, it was a shooting insult to call a legitimate cattleman a cowboy. Cattle herders? Yes. Ranchers? Yes. Cowboys? No.
Galeyville is full of Cochise County citizens, and they've never paid any taxes.
Yeah. You want me to collect taxes from the rustlers to pay for your salary? I mean, why would anyone in his right mind pay for a sheriff, particularly if he's on the wrong side of the law?
I knew you were bright, no matter what anyone says.
Well, it's suicide.
Now, you are only the fourth deputy to do this task.
Yeah, the others were either snuffed out or ran screaming into the sunset. You know, I thought I signed up to keep the peace. Collecting taxes wasn't even mentioned.
Hey, even Benjamin Franklin collected taxes. He didn't think it was beneath him.
Yeah, well, not from the cowboys he didn't.
So, are you too yellow for this? I thought you were too courageous for words.
I'll do it. But you definitely advertised this job with false expectations. I should have let Wyatt take the job after all.
I couldn't work with him, not after he stole my girl.
I even preferred to work with a Democrat than that piece of lowlife.
Yeah, but he could run the risk of being ventilated.
Billy, the citizens in Galeyville are fine folk. Treat them nicely and they'll be nice with you.
Yeah, while they are robbing your pocket and running your stock away.
Treat them like animals and that's what you get. It's all in the way you approach them, Billy.
Couldn't I collect taxes from the gamblers here in Tombstone? Surely they haven't paid any taxes.
Gambling is a 100% legitimate business with business licenses. Of course they pay their taxes. Unfortunately, it doesn't go to paying me.
It doesn't?
No, sirree. That money is directly in support of the schools. Billy, I need your skills as a plainsman to go out to Galeyville to get past the Apaches.
Yeah, it's just another problem. I knew it weren't going to be a walk in the park.
There's the Clantons, Finn, Ike, Billy, and Old Man Clanton. They have a ranch a few miles above Charleston on the San Pedro.
Yeah.
Tom and Frank McClory have a ranch in Sulphur Spring Valley.
Yeah, 25 miles east of Tombstone, 4 miles south of Soldier Hold. I've been there.
And then there's Galeyville.
Yeah.
You'll see a lot of citizens there.
Yeah, I bet.
Or maybe out at Soldier Holes. They hang out there a lot. I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, just a great time.
Days later, Billy is sitting atop his horse looking down into the dusty little burg of Galeyville. In 1881, it had 400 citizens. It was a small mining town with its own smelter puffing smoke out into the air. He was alone, as usual. The Apaches were out in the mountains and the valleys and committing all kinds of depredations. And Billy had been rather busy looking out for him. He got along finely and collected quite a sum of money in taxes from teamsters and ranchers along the way. But Galeyville? The merchants and saloonmen had no title to the land on which their buildings were.
So taxable property was all personal. There were 11 tough saloons in this burg.
Well, there it is, Galeyville. 400 hardworking citizens. How honest they are is debatable. Oh, I sure hope this plan of mine works.
Hello there, Dusty. Welcome to Babcock Saloon and Corral. I'm Janie. Say, I haven't ever seen you before. Can I pour you a drink to get the dust out of your throat?
No, ma'am. I'm hoping for a little help of another kind.
Janie ain't no ma'am, cowboy.
Can't believe he said that, ma'am.
What kind of help do you think he wants, Janie?
Oh, pipe down, you sidewinders. Dusty, is there something else I could do for you?
No, ma'am. Look, I'm looking for Mr. Brocious. Mr. William Brocious.
He wants Mr. Brocious. Oh, la,
Mr.
La.
Brocious.
Pipe down, I said, you guys.
Now, boys, let's not be impolite.
Oh, Ringo, we just had no fun.
Particularly you, Ike. The fool thinks he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool.
Oh, God. Don't get him started. He'll be spouting that darn Shakespeare stuff all night.
Love all, trust a few, do wrong to none.
Oh, good jumping grief. Two of them.
This above all, to thine own self be true.
And it must follow as the night, the day thou canst not then be false to any man.
Stop. Stop!
I would challenge you to a battle of wits. but I see you are unarmed.
There's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so.
Hell is empty, and all the devils are here.
Oh, that's true. Yes, indeedy.
Boys, that does it. My head hurts. He wants to see
Mr. Brocious.
By all means, by all means. Though this be madness, yet there is method in't.
I'll just relieve him of his shooting iron. Wouldn't do to have him toting when he sees El Jefe.
Curly, there's a gent to see you.
So I gather. Okay, who are you and what do you want?
Mr. Brocious.
Oh, please. That was my father. May he rot in everlasting. Name is Curly Bill. Who are you?
Well, I'm Billy Breckenridge, Mr. Curly. I'm the deputy sheriff of Cochise County.
You're a long way from Tombstone, kid.
Yeah, well, I've been sent here to collect a tax.
And what's that got to do with me?
Well, I want to hire you to go with me as deputy assessor to help me to assess and collect a tax. I'm serious. I'm serious. I mean, you know everyone here.
Never knew a deputy could be so out and out amusing. Are you touched in the head? You know who we are, right?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm talking with the head of the Cowboys. But I was afraid I might be held up and my tax money taken from me if I went alone.
We wouldn't do that, would we, boys?
Oh, no. We're all law-abiding citizens.
Yeah. Speak for yourself, McClary. Us Clantons certainly are.
You want me, Curly Bill Brocious, to help you collect taxes? Don't that beat all?
Will you help me?
Being from Tombstone, you must be friends with Wyatt Earp or his assorted family.
His very sordid family.
No, thank you very much. That whole tribe is too steeped in blood for me.
Well, you must have some kind of hero to come charging out here like this.
I bet it's Wild Bill Hickok. Who'll cover my bet?
You would be wrong. Now, if you mention Tom Smith, his predecessor in Abilene, I might agree.
Tom Smith, Abilene, Kansas, believed in enforcing the law without recourse to firearms. His mission was taming the bad men, cajoling them into obeying the law, or accepting the consequences of arrest. He focused on handling things in such a way as to avoid the philosophy of standing one's ground with no duty to retreat.
Not that it helped him much. I heard he was murdered and then decapitated while on duty.
Well, but he stands tall, though. It's about trying to be as good as he wanted to be.
What about your sheriff? You like him?
Got nothing to do with the job. Well, he's kind of a dandy. He damn near killed me when his gun fell out of his holster and fired a bullet at me. I'm still wearing a crease at my temple.
Boss, he's got an interesting way of looking at things.
Certainly does when he wants me to help collect taxes. By gum, what a joke. I gotta ask, did anyone put you up to this? I mean, other than the sheriff?
No, sir. No, I thought it'd be an interesting thing to try.
I gotta admit, I'm intrigued. We will make every one of these low-down cow thieves pay his taxes, but I can't call you Billy. I'd get confused with the Clanton boy.
Well, other folks have called me Breck.
It was the perfect approach. One that played on the cowboy's vanity by asking for his protection and not so subtly acknowledging that Curly Bill and his pals were perfectly capable of overpowering the deputy and pilfering the taxes any time they felt like it.
We'll start with you, Frank. I know you got some money in your pocket. Pay the man. You claim to own a ranch with your brother.
Curly, you're really going to do this?
Look at it this way. You were just bragging about being a law-abiding citizen. Prove it by paying up.
Okay. But, Curly, this is all I got right now.
Hey, McClory, we'll get some more. Don't worry.
Tomorrow, Breck, you and me will need to get an early start. I know all the blind canyons and hiding places that just happen to contain some cattle. Boys, this is going to be so much fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Fun, I don't think so.
True to his word, Don found Billy and Curly Bill plodding into a blind canyon. Smoke was curling up from a breakfast campfire. partners Bryce Jackson and Chet Alquist were surprised that they had visitors at that time in the morning.
Son of a gun, Chet. Look who's coming this way out of the mist.
Bryce, that can't be Curly Bill. He don't get up much for a crack the noon.
Sure looks like him, though. I don't recognize the other dude.
Whoa, Bill.
Curly Bill, that really you and not your ghost?
Yeah, it's me. Hell, it's kind of hard to tell this early.
You're so desperate from one of my biscuits that you have to sneak up in the middle of the dark?
Your biscuits are good, but not that good, you punchy drover.
Besides, down in the valley, sun's already up.
And who's this?
Howdy, howdy. My name's Billy Breckenridge.
I call him Breck.
Well, crawl down off them horses and have a cup of joe.
Thanks, we'll do that. Well, that's better. Boys, we're here because we got a job.
Job? What kind of a job? Down Mexico way?
No, not that. I'm a deputy assessor.
You're a what?
Curly Bill, you're joshing us. Who in his right mind would hire you?
Well, I did. I'm the deputy sheriff of Tombstone, and it's my duty to collect the taxes for Cochise County. Curly Bill's helping me to do that.
Yep, collecting it from y'all.
Curly, this is nuts. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
You are law-abiding citizens, right?
Well, of course we are, but...
And as law-abiding citizens, it is your duty to pay your taxes.
Yeah, we can't run the county without everyone paying up their taxes.
But
everyone! Curly. Now I know how many cattle you got. It's only a little bit on them each one.
Curly, we ain't got a thin dime between us.
That's not a problem.
It's a big problem to us.
Brett, can you take an order to our banker, Mr. Turner? Would that work for you?
You mean the Cowboys have their own bank? Their own banker? Is Turner in Galeysville?
Yeah, we keep him real close.
Well, I don't see why it wouldn't work as long as I get the cash before I go back to Tombstone.
So that way everyone would be square with their taxes. Simple as signing a piece of paper.
I don't know, Curly.
If you get arrested, things would be better for you if your taxes were all paid up front. Ain't that right, Breck?
Oh, hey, upstanding tax-paying citizens are what the law's all about. Protecting the taxpayers.
Curly Bill, this seems like a flim-flam deal to me.
You ever know me to lie to you?
Well, not when you're sober. But get liquored up like Ringo, and there's all hell to pay.
Until we get all city sins assessed, I promise to lay off the hard liquor.
Geez, you must be serious. Okay, let me sign one of them papers.
But Chet...
We ain't got a dime, you know that, Bryce. Until we get these cattle sold... Then we can pay off Turner.
Okay, I'll sign one too.
And so it went, blind canyon after blind canyon, campsite by campsite. No one could refuse Curly Bill's offer, not with the gleam they could see in his eyes. They were not happy with his amusement and laughter, but it was safer than challenging him with a gun.
That's the last of them, Breck. I think we touched everyone in the Galeyville area. Not a one got away.
Yeah, and I assessed all the ranches between Tombstone and here. Oh, thanks for all your help.
Breck, I got a big bang out of being a deputy assessor, but I wouldn't want to do it for real. You livened up the camp, twisting Ringo's tail with all that Shakespeare. The rest of us can't compete.
And the rest of us had to stay sober with you around.
Well, mostly sober.
I'm glad that we can go back to drinking.
Paragons of virtue, all of us.
Breck, you can come back and hang out with us anytime.
Well, you know, next time might be jury duty or an arrest warrant.
Don't matter. Come visiting if you get lonely. If only for the Shakespeare.
I admit Ringo dishes out pretty well for a Texan. Where did he go to school?
Just what he picked up from traveling shows.
Hey, that's a low cut.
And you give me a good laugh.
All right. See you around.
Adios, mi amigo.
Yeah.
Billy learned one thing about Curly Bill Brocious, and that was that he would not lie to him. What he told Billy, he believed. And his word to the deputy was better than the oaths of some who were known as good citizens. After assessing the town of Galeyville, Breckenridge left there with nearly $1,000 tax money. He arrived safely in Tombstone and was vastly relieved. After that, whenever there was anything to be done in Galeyville or the San Simone Valley,
Billy was sent to do it, and he was kept in the saddle a good portion of the time. He always went alone because he didn't believe in a suddenly picked up posse. He felt he could depend on himself. He wasn't so sure of anyone else. Being friends with the cowboys didn't mean that he didn't do the job as deputy sheriff. Billy Breckenridge served every warrant outside of Tombstone. He could ride into a den of thieves and emerge unscathed and with stolen property recovered or taxes collected. He was not involved in the fight near the OK Corral, but he believed the testimony by Johnny Behan and others against the Earps. Breckenridge left the Tombstone area in 1883 and spent most of his later years working with the railroads. At the age of 70, he retired and settled in Tucson. He wrote a memoir called El Dorado in 1928. There's a yearly celebration in Tombstone in October, and they call it El Dorado Days. And one of the prime tourist destinations is Boot Hill, so called because everyone buried there died with their boots on. Billy died with his boots off in January 1931 in Tucson, Arizona, age 85.
You've been listening to American Radio Theater's presentation of Chuck Wagon Tales, Collecting Taxes Out West. It was written and directed by Joy Jackson. It was based upon Billy Breckenridge's memoirs, El Dorado. In our cast, you heard Dan Schindler as the Ranger, Dave Leese as Johnny Behan, Ivan Curry as Billy Breckenridge, Ken Leese as Curly Bill Brocious, Kim Turner as Johnny Ringo, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Ike Clanton, Mary Moore Campagna as Janie, Greg Porter as Bryce Jackson, Terry Elder as Chet Allquist. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Mike Wheeler. Music by Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Engineering by Ron Ailey. Playback by Joy Jackson. Recorded in front of a live audience at Pioneer Hall, Seattle for Radio Studio 2013. I'm Pat McNally, your announcer, who you also heard as Frank McLaurie. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
The research for this show was the book by Billy Breckenridge, El Dorado. He published it in 1928 and it was reprinted in 1982. From the factual to the fictional, I fell in love with two characters written by W.C. Tuttle. ART recorded three lost scripts of the series Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens. But I wanted to know how these two cowboys got together. Here's Hashknife and Sleepy in Bloody Beginnings. American Radio Theater presents a new story of Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens. How did these two cowpokes run into each other? Ride with us into Bloody Beginnings.
In you go, Hartley.
But, Deputy, I didn't do it.
They all say that. Those cuts on your knife proves otherwise. A regular hash knife.
But, Deputy, I didn't do it.
Might's well sit down, son. You ain't going nowheres.
I guess not.
Hey, Hashknife.
That ain't my name, cowboy.
Folks been saying that Hashknife fella this and that Hashknife fella that.
Darn name follows me around.
How's that, son?
First to work for this ranch in Texas.
Hashknife Ranch?
Yeah, then I drifted west to Arizona. Doggone if there wasn't a Pony Express out there with the same name.
Hired you, huh?
Darn right.
Bet you're pretty slick on a horse, ain't you?
Pretty slick, partner.
Well, what you in here for?
Beats me. Wrong place at the wrong time, I guess. Story of my life.
You ain't in here for missing church.
No, I stopped in this misbegotten town to get the dust out of my throat.
This is the worst place to do that, Hashknife. They don't serve nothing but water in jail.
Don't call me that.
Well, what's your name, son?
Leonard. At home, folks call me Len.
That ain't hardly a good name out here. You'd get strung up.
Great.
So you stopped to get a drink at the saloon.
Yeah, and then this hombre shoves up against me, and then he bleeds all over me. I can see the knife sticking out of him.
Oh, so that's why he looks so unsavory. Your knife, huh?
Not mine, partner. But the sheriff is convinced otherwise.
What you gonna do about it?
Can't do nothing pent up in here. I gotta get out first.
Then what?
Find out who killed that fella. His blood is on my hands, and I won't feel right till I get it off.
How you gonna do that, son?
I'm thinking on it.
Huh. Hey, Dusty, how about some water here? If you ain't gonna feed me, you might as well make my stomach think it's got something in it.
First it's one thing, then another with you. I'll be glad when the sheriff lets you out, Sleepy. Why don't you just curl up in the corner and quit bugging me?
Come on, Dusty, just a little drop of water. I've got a horrible thirst.
You should have thought about that when you started that fight. You and your hair-triggered temper.
I'm going to keep talking until you bring me some...
All right, all right. Okay, here it is.
Grab his hand, Sleepy.
Hey, let go of me, you drunken fool.
I'll just reach inside your vest pocket and retrieve those keys.
You can't do that.
I ain't sitting in here while the killers slip around free. And I'll take that gun. Now I'll unlock this door. Let go of him, Sleepy.
Huh? Oh, yeah, sorry, Dusty. I didn't think he was going to do that.
In you go, Dusty. Thanks for all your hospitality.
Ash knife, don't leave me here.
You want to string along with me? Are you crazy?
I don't think so. But you're more interested than bunking in here with Dusty.
All right. But we're going to have words about what you call me.
Dad, blame it, son. In the West, you don't get much of a choice.
Okay. Just so you can show me around town. Come on.
Hey, let me out, too. I can help.
Harry, just sleep it off.
Oh, God.
Don't leave me in here like this. What's the sheriff going to say?
Dusty, why don't you just curl up in the corner and quit bugging me? Ash knife, who was it you're supposed to have killed?
The name is Hartley, Bo Diddley.
What did you just call me? Bo Diddley, huh?
Cowboy, I don't know anyone here. The sheriff said his name was Tom Jeffers.
Lovely dove. He's new Indian agent. And you went and killed him.
I did not. Has he been in town long?
Only a couple of months. I bet Sal is going to be upset.
Was that his wife or sweetheart?
Why, are you planning on romancing her?
No, dimwit. I just thought she might have an idea of someone in town had it in for Tom.
Oh, that's different. Their house is the last one down this street. We could stop in and give our condolences to her.
You ain't told me yet if it's his wife.
I haven't, because it's not. She's his sister, and a pretty little thing, too. Just a little too highfalutin for the likes of me. This house, son.
Who's there?
Hi, Miss Sally. It's Sleepy Stevens. Can I talk with you?
Oh, Sleepy, it's real nice of you to come by. Tom is...
Yes, ma'am, I know. I just heard about Tom. He was a mighty fine man, a man we could all look up to.
And he got murdered for it. I knew this was a mistake coming out here, but Tom wanted to do something for the Indians. He wanted to right some of the wrongs done to them. He felt he could do some good.
What are you going to do now, Miss Sally?
Well, I'd go back home on the quickest train, except there's...
Except what, ma'am?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you standing there.
Where's my manners? Miss Sally, this is Hash Knife.
Except what, ma'am?
Well, I'm kind of sparking with someone.
Someone Tom didn't like?
Well, on the contrary, Tom thought the world of Frederick Tanner.
Frederick? Freddie Tanner? Is he mixed up in this?
What do you mean mixed up in this? Frederick is a wonderful man. He's been selling cattle to Tom for the Indians at a decent, reasonable price.
I just bet he has.
Oh, he's so kind and thoughtful, and he's so considerate.
I'm sure he's everything you need him to be, ma'am. Come on, Sleepy. I gotta check something at the office. My condolences, ma'am.
Thank you. I can't believe he's gone.
Good night, Miss Sally. Where to now, Hash Knife?
Not Hash Knife.
Take it easy, cowboy. Nothing to get riled about. Unless you just like walking around in the dark in a strange town.
I want to check the records at the Indian Agency. Where is it?
Oh, right down this alley. Why do you want to look at those? Ain't nothing but a bunch of tally marks.
Oh? You've seen them?
Yeah,
Yeah, I seen them. I drove part of a herd over there last week. Funny thing about that, though, come to think of it.
What's that?
There was a cow that I could have sworn I'd had in another bunch that I took to the same place. But that don't make no sense.
After a while, all cows look alike.
Particularly if it's just tally marks on a ledger. But there was this one cow with a busted-off horn.
Uh-huh. Now that's real interesting.
What is, son?
Oh, these tally marks.
I told you. But what's it take you to get you to believe me?
But, cowboy, they don't tally.
Huh? What do you mean? Of course they tally. I drove those dang cows myself.
The amount paid out for a certain number of cows doesn't tally with the number of cows given to the Indians.
How could that be? Tom was as honest as the day is long.
He's only been here for, what, a couple of months?
Yeah.
This goes back a lot farther than that.
It does?
And if I know Freddie Tanner, he's got his hand in it all the way up to his elbows.
You sound like you heard of him before.
You could say that. Come on, we'll take these books along.
That's stealing. It's again the law.
Hey, they can only hang me once, and this ain't nothing compared to that.
Hash knife, where are we going now?
Stop calling me that!
Can't help it. You just look like a hash knife.
Sharp and pointy, huh? You know whereabouts the Indians' reservation is?
Why, sure. You can't walk there, though. You gotta have a horse.
Sleepy, how do you think I got into town?
Well, yeah, but there's other ways, you know.
I'd be a poor cowboy without my horse and saddle, wouldn't I? My horse is probably still over at the saloon.
Drinking it up, no doubt.
He got more of a drink than I got, that's for sure.
My Appalachie's over in the stable at the edge of town. Leastways, that's where Dusty told me he put her. We're real close now. This is where we usually drop off the cattle for him.
Do tell. Ain't no reservation around here. It's got to be miles away yet.
How'd you know that? You ain't never been here before, have you?
Listen, Bo Diddley, there's no sign of them here. No wood smoke, no dogs barking, no children's yells. Quit pulling my leg.
Now you're calling me names. This is where we drove the cattle.
Huh? Well, I suggest we ride on a little further. Let's just hope for your sake that it's nearby. Hold up a minute.
What you looking for down there? And how in the blazes can you see anything?
A lot of cattle tracks going this way. But there's a few unshod horses going that direction. I think I'll follow those unshod ponies.
Why'd you do that?
I want to see this Indian encampment, and the cattle didn't go that way.
Thunderation, how could you tell?
Sleepy, there's a full moon tonight. The cattle leave a trail that a blind man could see.
Stop, white man. What business here?
Lovely dove. Ain't sure it's a welcoming committee or what?
Is that you, Little Wolf? You're sure talking funny, John.
Little Wolf? You can't mean to say you know this engine.
I know you, white man.
It's been some time. Let me take off my hat.
Lenny? Is that really you?
Can't tell without my beard, huh?
When I sent you that letter, I never really expected you might come.
Where's your faith, Little Wolf? This guy God provides, doesn't he?
Someone tell me what's going on.
Who is this white man?
Seems to be called Sleepy Stevens. Actually claims to have delivered cattle to
you. What you mean, claims?
I never saw him before.
I didn't think so.
Hold it a darn minute. Are you guys in cahoots? What you doing being friends with Injuns?
This Injun saved my life more than once.
And you always returned the favor. I thought you went home after the war, Lenny. That's where I sent the letter.
It eventually got to me, and I came as soon as I could.
Come on in and sit a spell. I'll go get the chief, and we can talk about the troubles.
Thank you for seeing us, Chief.
Little Wolf speaks highly of you, Len Hartley. He wanted a white warrior to check into the matter.
Len, we are starving.
The Indian agent tells us cattle are coming, but we only see one or two at a time.
I know we're supposed to be getting more than that. The contract papers say...
You is always a good one for reading, Little Wolf.
Tom Jeffers promised to get to the bottom of it, but we've heard nothing from him.
And you won't now. He came into town yesterday and he was killed right in front of me.
Yeah, and Hashknife here got fingered for it.
You, Lenny? I can't believe that.
Someone slipped a knife into him and shoved him on me. Never even met the man, and here I am blamed for killing him.
You think it's mixed up with this cattle business?
Sure looks like it to me.
Not that anyone will pay attention. Just one man's word against the Indian.
Little Wolf, you wrote that you've been keeping track of how many cattle?
That's why I know there's something going on.
Bring out those ledgers, Sleepy.
You're going to give them to the Injuns? Hashknife, you'll be strung up for sure.
Lenny, what's all this Hashknife business?
I don't want to talk about it. But if you start calling me that, Little Wolf, there might be murder in my eye yet.
Ooh, don't like it much, huh?
Sleepy, you see what you started?
Started what, son?
Little Wolf, compare your figures with the tallies in these ledgers. That might give you some ammo.
Good.
With Tom Jeffers dead, who is the Indian agent?
Same as last year.
Hashknife, I could have told you that. The same hombre that hires me to drive cattle. Frederick Tanner.
Freddie Tanner. I had a feeling he'd turn up again. No wonder those ledgers stink to me. Little Wolf, did you know?
Papers always signed by F. Tannenbaum.
You're telling me that Tannenbaum is actually Freddie Tanner? I had no reason to suspect that Tanner might have his fingers in this business.
You never saw him out here?
Since when do the Indians ever see the Indian agent?
Why is it everyone knows about Freddie Tanner but me? I'm the only one who worked for him. In fact, I'm the only one that met the dude.
If we are talking about the same man, he deserted from our outfit in the war.
It was after he disappeared that we found that poor family tortured and murdered.
Maybe he didn't do it.
There was a lot of evidence about his attachment to that family.
Robbing them wasn't enough for him.
We kept looking for him after that.
And if we ever find him, he will pay for what he did to that family.
As well others that might have fallen into his path.
But that was in the war. You can't get a jury to convict someone for something they did during the war.
That doesn't mean judgment can't be delivered.
I'd be delighted.
Do you suppose he recognized you in the saloon and deliberately pinned the murder on you?
Lenny, I wouldn't put it past it. You're pretty easy to spot.
Then how come you didn't know me at the edge of the village?
I recognized you.
You were showing off.
Was on duty.
You Cherokees.
What's more, you had this white man with you. You never used to tolerate a sidekick.
I ain't got one now.
We'll see about that, Hashknife.
Aw, hell.
We'll return to Hashknife, or Lenny, and Sleepy after this brief message from American Radio Theater.
We'll get back to the show in just a minute. But first, a few words from ART. Hi, I'm Uncle Fletcher. You know, there were some great stories that were told in the radio days of the 1940s and 1950s. We look for those stories that have lost their broadcast voice to give them a new life. In addition, we encourage new writers of audio drama by providing a way to hear their imagination. We use the veteran techniques from the days of old-time radio and blend them in with modern technology. We're pretty passionate about our quality and content of our stories. You'll find our shows on our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org. And now, back to treasures old and new from ART.
We return to ART's original production of Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens in Bloody Beginnings.
Hashknife, I don't think this is the best idea you ever had.
You don't have to tag along.
You're not safe to be let out on your own. You get into all sorts of trouble.
I'm just fine on my own.
Yeah, you hang around with Indians.
I thought you called them Injuns.
That was before I met some of them. That lone wolf talks better than me. Reads and writes like a dad-blamed lawyer.
His name is Little Wolf. Cherokees ain't your garden variety Injun.
But why are we heading out to Tanner's ranch? His regular hands are real frisky with their guns.
I thought you worked for him.
Nope. Only when he moves a shipment of cattle. His ranch hands wouldn't want to get their hands dirty.
probably wear gloves to protect their tender white flesh.
How did you know? You been here before? Here's the edge of the ranch. Now that's downright funny.
You're always saying something's funny. What is it this time?
Remember I mentioned that cow with the busted horn?
Yeah, and I said all cattle start to look alike. What of it?
Daggone if I don't see that same cow. How can that be?
Well, either you're fixated on a cow...
Hey!
...or someone has been sending the same cattle over and over again. Come on, Pecos.
Dad, blame it, Hash Knife. Where are you going now?
Shut up, cowboy. I want to see what I can find at that ranch house.
But all that gunfighter crew...
will be asleep in the bunkhouse. You can wait for me out here if you're afraid.
Afraid? Not on your life, you screwball. Lovely dove.
Fine. If you're coming with me, keep your trap shut. We'll tie the horses up at the edge of the corral and sneak onto the porch.
We got a really good situation here, Freddy. But how many times can you fiddle the books on the Indians? Someone's bound to wise up.
You mean like that dumb as a doorknob cowpoke?
Yeah, he's driven that same herd to the Indians 5 times now, and he never noticed a thing.
Good thing you've managed to keep him off the ranch.
Not that you had much to do about that. He's so sweet on Sally, it's pathetic.
I am not.
Will you be quiet?
That's my girl you're maligning.
Are you really serious? You're not just stringing her along to handle Tom?
I'm going to marry her. That's how serious it is.
That's going to really complicate things for us.
All these years I put in on your schemes.
No, not at all. I can keep her out of it. Just keep her in new dresses and she'll never notice.
You must think most women are beneath you.
In more ways than one.
She's not as dumb as you think, Freddy.
Dolly, most women aren't as smart as you are.
When we've had tea together, she covers some surprising topics. Her mind is razor sharp.
Oh, you're just imagining it. She's just another weepy female.
Freddy, you certainly took care of that Indian agent.
Smoothest operation I ever did. The doors banged open and this dumb cowpoke stepped up to the bar behind Tom. It was so easy. I put the knife in and shoved Tom into that puncher. Smooth as silk.
Too bad he got jailed for it. We could have gotten him lynched and it'd be all over and done.
You must think she's not going to add 2 and 2. Since you killed her brother, I think you better steer clear of her.
Not a chance. There was something about that puncher.
It must just be your nerves.
Yeah, probably.
He must remind you of someone.
I don't know. It's just a feeling that we'd been together someplace.
What's that? Someone must be on the porch.
Whoever it is, he deserves a little lead.
Come on, Sleepy. We gotta leave now.
But they were talking about me.
Come on.
There they are.
Open fire. Let's get them.
Ah, I caught one.
Hash Knife, you're hurt.
I got to get to the horses.
We're here. Get up. Ride. Ha! Ha! Lovely dove, Hash Knife. Whoa! You didn't tell me you were going to fall off.
Sorry, partner.
Where are you hurt?
My leg.
Oh, Lord, look at all that blood. What am I going to do with you?
I got a kind of a clean shirt in my saddlebag.
You weren't supposed to get shot. Was it worth it?
Was what worth it?
What we heard. Was it worth getting shot?
Yeah, maybe. I think. Oh.
Hash Knife. Hash Knife. Hash Lenny. Lovely dove. Come on, soldier. Back in the saddle. I'm taking you to Sally's. I'm sorry, Miss Sally, but I didn't know where else to go.
You could have tried the jail. Here, put him there on the settee.
Come on, he sprung me. I couldn't take him back. Hoo-wee, you really know your way around a wound.
You handle that bandage and scissors like a real professional, ma'am.
I had too much practice in the war. There, I think that will hold him.
Sally, are you decent? I need to talk to you. I'm coming in.
No, don't let him in.
No, don't come in. I'm not ready.
Why? Are you having special company?
Please, stay out.
Yeah, he's here. Mister, you left a trail of blood all the way here. And looky here, it's Sleepy Stevens. By golly, two birds with one shot. A jackpot. Put your hands up.
Frederick, I'm so glad you came. I wasn't sure what else to do.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of these two polecats. They trespassed on Frederick's property, and then they had the gall to eavesdrop on a private conversation.
Frederick, what's wrong? You look so strange, darling.
Can't be. It can't be.
Why? This is exactly how you left me before, Freddy.
You're that cowboy.
Yeah, the one you framed for Jeffers' murder. Wrong. I use a gun, not a knife, when I have to.
Tom's murder? How can that be? You said he was...
Darling, dearest, please, just be quiet. This is man talk. Cowboy, you remind me of someone.
Unfortunately, I know exactly who you are. You almost succeeded that day, Tanner. You went from torturing and killing that poor Harrison family to making sure all your grievances against me were settled. I was the only person in camp that afternoon.
Harrison family?
Harrison family?
But you missed your chance. Little Wolf came back into camp before you could finish me.
Didn't succeed, huh? Looks like I got a second chance.
What Harrison family?
Darling, it wouldn't mean anything to you.
It was years ago, Sally, in the war.
Yeah, and you lost it.
We surrendered, that was true. Most of us didn't lose ourselves. Freddy, you were part of my company, but you cut and run. Run out on men who trusted you.
Where was this? Where?
You don't even remember, do you, Freddy? Too many others, I guess. Remember that little house down in that peaceful little valley?
What are you talking about?
Sleepy, he's not helping.
Dang if I know anything about this.
By the creek in the southern part of Kansas?
Kansas? The Harrisons in South Kansas?
It was nothing, darling. He's just spinning tails to prevent me from finishing him off.
When were you going to tell me about that? Before or after I got married, or ever?
Oh, it has nothing to do with you. You didn't need to know about it.
How much more have you been hiding from me?
Sally, please. Honey, we can put all these lies that Hartley is spinning behind us.
Oh, so you do know him.
What about that, son? I don't think I ever mentioned who this gent is.
And I wasn't given much of a chance to. Poor Frederick. No idea about women. You never asked about my family. You never knew that Tom's family adopted me after my family was...
Oh, okay, Sally. Give me one of your hugs to make things all right.
Oh, Frederick, please tell me this isn't happening.
Sally, you don't need to worry. What I did in the war is in the past, dead and gone.
Did you know the Harrisons in South Kansas, like he says?
Well, I don't see why I should deny it. It happened a long time ago. War does strange things to people, but yes, I knew them.
Particularly the sister. She thought you were going to marry her, right up until the last second, I suppose.
Yes, she was a pretty little thing, for white trash.
White trash?
It wasn't very pretty when you left. You had your fun.
Pay no attention to him, Sally. He never liked me. I always got the girl, just like I got you.
Yes, just like you got me. Well, here's one for my sister.
Oh.
And here's one for my brother Tom.
Oh. Sally, my love, why are you...
You're killing him, you witch!
No, Charlie, not Sally.
Ah!
My pretties.
Get him, Sleepy!
That does it for you, Bo Diddley.
God darn it! Charlie went and killed Freddy! I wanted to do it! After all, the things he did to my family...
Lucky thing he did, you'd be up for murder. Death by scissors?
Well, that's what I had.
Sleepy, how about you going to get the doc? Sally and I can keep company together till then. And check in with Dusty. He could help us with the bodies.
Lovely dove.
So, how are you, Sally?
Well, how do you think a gunshot wound feels like? hurts like sin.
Yeah, the two of us aren't in great shape to do anything together. Before Sleepy comes back with the doc, do you mind if I ask a couple questions?
Oh, sure. My life is in total pieces, and you want to ask questions. Man.
Sally, would or maybe could you stand in for Thomas as temporary Indian agent? Freddie here was fiddling with the books, and then he knifed Tom when he found out.
Oh, was that what happened? Tom told me a few things, but, Hashknife, I don't know anything.
One of the Indians, Little Wolf, has Tom's books. He's as honest as Tom was. In fact, he asked me to come and look into the situation. You'll be all set if you can tie up with him.
Well, I've heard of Little Wolf from Tom, but he doesn't speak English.
Don't you believe it. He was in my outfit during the war. He talks way better than me.
You just stay here for a couple of days, Hashknife, until you recover. I'll make a mean chicken soup.
Sounds like a deal. Tell Sleepy when he wanders back to go get Little Wolf so we can get started on the paperwork.
I think you'll need a little more than chicken soup. Come on in! Oh, I see it's you, Dolly, or whatever your name really is.
Murderer killing my sweet Freddy.
Your sweet Freddy? He was sweet on me.
I heard you went wild when you found out that he had done in that Harrison family in Kansas. He bragged about it to me so many times.
Tain't none of your business.
Freddy was a good man. He never done anything wrong. You don't know what went on before.
Better to some than others. What do you want?
I want the rest of the money that was owed Freddy.
What money?
For selling the cattle.
You mean the cattle for the Indians? I've got proof they're still on your property in spite of being sold 3 different times to the agency. We don't owe you nothing. Instead, we should be suing you.
Sal, I'm ready to go. Oh, I didn't know you had company.
She's just going.
I am not. I want my money.
Hashknife, I can handle this myself.
I'm sure you could, Sal. Miss Tanner, I think you're all through here in the territory. Sal, you can put that shooting iron back in your apron pocket. Probably not worth your while taking out another Tanner, although the country might be a mite better off. Miss Tanner, I suggest you pack up your doodads and go back to whatever rock you came from.
But my ranch!
You mean the ranch that Freddy used as a front for his activities? You might find that he didn't even own it.
Out! Out!
Do you really have to go, Lenny?
Well, ma'am.
You can stay longer. I'm not charging you rent.
I know, and I thank you kindly. But it's high time for me to mosey off. I was on my way to somewhere else when Bob Marsh heard about this deal. I still need to report what happened to him.
Well, come back and stay a while, anytime you like. You're easy to be around.
Yes, ma'am. I could say the same for you. I just might do that.
Hartley, doggone it, Hashknife. Hold on just a dag-nabbed minute. Where in tarnation do you think you're going? You're not to be walking on that leg.
I'm going on my way. Little Wolf will handle the problems here better than I could. Besides, I'm not going to be walking.
How are you going to get up on that horse of yourn? You plan to swing your bad leg over the saddle or get up there on the wrong side? Or backward?
I'll do it, never you mind. I don't need a nursemaid.
You need more than that, and I'm going to be the one who does it.
I just can't stay here any longer. I gotta ride out of here.
All right, all right. Just let me go get a buckboard.
A buckboard? I can't afford that.
I'm only borrowing it to get you out of town. I have a dandy place where you can rest up and heal.
As long as it ain't in this town. I can't abide towns.
That's what I thought, Hashknife. There's a snug little camp down by a creek a couple miles out of town. Come on, I don't want to hear no argument from you.
I give up.
You've been listening to a brand new episode by American Radio Theater of Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens, written and produced by Joy Jackson, directed by Greg Porter and Dan Schindler, starring Ken Leese as Hashknife and Dave Leese as Sleepy. Also in our cast, Karen Leese as Dolly, Joy Jackson as Sally, Pat McNally as Charles, Moki O'Reilly as Chief, Greg Porter as John Littlewolf, Dan Schindler as Fred Tanner, Kim Turner as Deputy Dusty, Harry Thiel as Harry. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Live music by Ed Clute and other music by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. I'm Magpie McLaurin, your announcer. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
For my last show, it's The New or Newer West. Set in the 1950s, Frozen Corpse Lodge is somewhere in the Sierra Madres just west of Reno. History knows this area as Donner Pass. Here's ART's version of I Love a Mystery, Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge, Episode 9.
American Radio Theater presents I Love a Mystery.
O'clock on a frozen, snow-choked morning, with the drifts up to the second-story windows of the J. Irving Stark Hunting Lodge, high and isolated in the Sierras, somewhere on the California-Nevada border. Snowbound in Frozen Corpse Lodge, and more of the white crystallized stuff coming down relentlessly. White, freezing death, without and within the lodge, death by murder, death by an assassin's knife. First to be stabbed in the back in the vicinity of the lodge was Philip Ogden, longtime friend of Gail Stark, and the fourth young man to receive a friendly kiss from Gail only to be murdered within the past 2 months. Next to die was Mansfield, the ancient butler, who had information concerning the killer but never got the chance to reveal it. His body was found frozen in the snow this morning when Jones, the new butler, was helping P.O. the caretaker tunnel from the lodge to the stables. Those left in the lodge include J. Irving Stark, apparently wealthy but actually entirely dependent on the money of his stepdaughter Gail. Gail is the one who invited Jack, Doc, and Jerry Booker to the lodge for this weekend after she had kissed three men, and they had died suddenly and violently within 24 hours. And then there is Bruce Garrett, wealthy and eccentric fiancé of Gail. Not at all the kind of a man Gail would be expected to marry. Jack has offered this theory, that there is some dirty work between J. Irving and Bruce Garrett, and that Gail is marrying Garrett to save her stepfather. None of the three will say a word. Then there is A.J. Ben, who came to the lodge in a snowstorm, said he was lost, and asked for a night's lodging. Shortly after his arrival, the phone and radio were smashed, cutting the lodge off from the world, and just a few moments ago he demonstrated that he carried two guns and was capable of using both. This was in the trophy room, where he was being questioned with J. Irving, Bruce Garrett, P.O., and the new butler, Jones. Suddenly, the two girls, Jerry Booker and Gail, cried out from the second floor. There was another dead man. He was in Gail's room, lying on her bed.
Another dead man! What is it? What have I done?
Hey, Jack! Doc! Get up here, quick!
Come on, Jack!
What is this murderer that's following me?
Never mind that. Where's the body?
Well, it's in Gail's room, there.
This is Gail's room. Right in here, Jeff. You two girls, stay out of here.
Okay.
Now, come on. Looky here, Jack. Another frozen corpse, huh? No kidding. Can you get the picture of somebody sneaking up here with a frozen body and dumping it on Gail's bed and scaring out of here? Well? That all you got to say?
Uh-huh. He's been dead some time.
Oh, you can tell that, can you? Or did you overhear Jack saying it?
No, I just came to the door as you saw me. Just as I said.
What else can you tell us about him?
Well, The way his throat looks, I'd say he was probably strangled.
Doing fine. Keep talking.
Yes. And the manner in which bits of straw are frozen to his outer garments and his hands, I'd say he'd been hidden in the stable, or at least in a hay pile.
Hmm. Hey, that's right, Jack.
Uh-huh. What else, Ben?
Why just offhand?
Who is he?
Why, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Yes, you do.
What do you mean by that, Packard?
Simply that the expression on your face when you looked down at him gave you away.
You misread my expression, I assure you.
I know better than that.
Compassion. Yes, I never look at a man with the life gone out of his body that I don't feel compassion. What's left is so helpless, so open to any man's gaze, so entirely at the disposal of anyone's whim.
It's covering up very nicely, but I still think you know who this man was.
I'm sorry, I wish it were possible to tell you.
Am I to interpret that to mean that you do know, but that you won't tell?
Don't try to put words into my mouth, Packard. You'll only confuse yourself that way.
Where did you leave the other man?
Mr. Stark and Bruce Garrett are at the head of the stairs, with your secretary and Miss Stark. I imagine Theo and the butler Jones are on the stairs, too.
Doc?
Yeah?
Call them in here one at a time.
For identification?
Yes.
How about the girls?
Yes.
Okay. They ain't going to like it.
Look, Ben, who are you anyway? What are you up to in this out-of-the-way place?
You're making a mistake asking me that, Packard.
I am?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Jerry, but Jack says you got it.
Well, if you got it, you got it. But I can name six other things I'd rather do.
Right in here. Brought Jerry first.
Why me, Jack? You know doggone well I won't know him.
Everyone's going to have a look, just to be sure. Okay, just a glance.
Oh, golly Moses.
Know him?
No, of course not.
Okay, go wait outside. Where's Doc?
He went to get the next victim.
Now just get a hold of yourself, Miss Stark.
But Jack, I don't want to. I don't want to. Please, do I have to?
Right here. Just one little look, and it'll be over.
If it's somebody I know, I just can't stand anymore.
Now then, please.
Oh.
Yeah, catch her, Doc.
Oh, got her. Oh, folded up like an accordion.
No, I haven't fainted. I just got dizzy.
Well, honey, just you cuddle up in my arms till you get your strength back.
I don't mean to be so silly.
Oh, well, pleasure's all mine, and you ain't any heavier in a minute.
Put that girl down.
Well, if it ain't Mr. Bruce Garrett, the glamour boy.
Put Gail Stark down on her feet.
Bruce, please. It's just that I got so sick with...
Are you going to put her down or...
Or what, sport?
Please put me down, Doc. I'm all right now.
Of course you ain't all right. You ought to lay down somewhere.
That girl's my fiancé, and I won't have her in anyone else's arms.
Doc, put me down.
Okay. Oh, don't struggle. There you are. You see, you ain't got the strength of a cat in your legs.
I've got to get out of here before I disgrace myself. Please, quick.
Hey, Jerry?
Yeah, it's about time I took over.
Oh, Jerry.
Yeah. Let's you and me go lock ourselves in a bathroom.
You great big $5 million worth of bad manners and filthy disposition. I hope you're satisfied.
Cut it out, Doc.
Well, he is for my money. Bruce Garrett, the millionaire. Bruce Garrett, the boil on the neck of society, if you ask me.
You and I are going to have a showdown before this is over long.
You bet we are, unless you sneak out on me, which I would not be surprised.
Why, hold it, Garrett. Get out of my way.
I said take it easy.
Put that gun away.
Yeah, Ben, you're getting awful handy with them guns of yours. Put him up. I can take care of a dozen Bruce Garretts.
Did you see what Garrett took out of his pocket when he started for you?
Huh? Out of his pocket?
Open your right hand, Garrett.
What do you think you're getting away with here?
Open your hand. I'll give you the count of three. One, two, thanks. Now, hand it to Packard.
Well, I'll be a hippopotamus. A busted neck of a beer bottle.
Yes. If he'd slashed down your face with the jagged edges of this broken glass, you'd never look the same.
So that's the kind of fight you want, is it? Busted bottle tops. And I suppose you bite and gouge and scratch, too.
Oh, take your hand off me.
Yeah, just don't forget you named it. Me and you've got a showdown coming up. Now get the heck out of here.
Just a minute, Garrett. Well, what do you want? Come over here and have a look at this body.
Oh, more high-powered detective stuff, huh?
Look at his face.
Oh, ghastly.
You know him?
No, and if I ever had, I wouldn't admit it now.
What's that mean?
Well, anything is vulgarly horrible and distorted. I would feel unclean to admit ever having associated with it. Even breathing air in the same room. Please, you don't need me anymore.
Okay, go on. But wait for us out in the hallway.
Yes, of course.
Kind of softened up there at the end.
Uh-huh. Go to the door and call Mr. Stark.
Yeah. You're next, Mr. Stark. Right over yonder, right on the bed.
This is bitterly distressing, Packard.
It isn't exactly my idea how to spend a weekend. Do you know this man?
You know, Packard, it's incredible that so many persons I have never laid eyes on before should come to my lodge here in the mountains to die violently.
Then you don't know this man.
I do not.
And yet he must have died not later than a week ago. Who was here at the lodge a week ago?
Were
you?
Why, yes. I'm up here almost every weekend all winter.
And the caretaker?
Yes, Pio's here the year round. And Mansfield.
And how about Bruce Garrett?
Why, yes.
And Gail?
No. Yes, she was too, but only overnight last week.
Then the only persons who were here a week ago when this man must have been killed are Jones, the new butler, and Doc, Jerry Booker, and myself.
Don't forget me, Packard.
Oh, yes, and Ben here, although you may have been around at that.
What's this?
For all we know, you may have been hanging around the lodge.
Yes, as far as you know, that's true, isn't it?
Quite true, Stark.
Yes?
Oh, look, get an old blanket and wrap the corpse in.
Yes, I will.
What are we going to do with it, Jack?
As soon as everyone's had a chance to identify it, we'll put it out in the tool shed behind the lodge with Philip Ogden and old Mansfield.
We're getting quite a collection, ain't we?
Get Jones in here.
Yeah. Jones are coming up. Hi, Jones. You're next, Sport. Right in with you.
Oh, but all this job's been so far, is it identifying dead bodies?
Well, that's easy work if a man can get it.
Take a look, Jones.
Oh, suffering cats, Mr.
You know him?
I've never seen him before in my life, but my gosh, I wouldn't wish a death like that on my worst enemy. What happened to him?
Oh, well, that's mostly because he's been frozen for a week.
Yeah? That's the way a guy gets?
We didn't get you in here to discuss the condition of the corpse. You sure you never saw him before?
Oh, if I ever did, I sure wouldn't recognize him now.
Uh-huh.
Can I go now?
Just stand back over there with Mr. Banna. I want you to help Pio take it down to the tool shed when we're finished.
Me? Touch that critter? Not me, mister. No, sirree.
Be wrapped up in a blanket.
Here, will this do, Packard?
Oh, yes, thanks. Give it to Jones.
Huh? What's this for?
To wrap the body in. Jones, take it.
Look, dead, plain shroud. I had to think I'd run away from home to get out of working in a meatpacking plant.
Don't get so big, Jones. Everything's going to be all right. You ready for P.O., Jack?
Okay, call him in.
Okay, P.O.
For my goodness sakes, you are ready for P.O. at last?
Yep, we're ready for P.O. at last. Okay, right in with you.
See? Who is dead now, senor?
Suppose you tell us. Here.
Mama Diablo, this man has been dead for a long time, no?
Yes. Who is he?
Just me? Who is he?
Yes.
But I do not know, senor.
You sure about that?
Well, sure, but of course I'm sure. Did I not say I do not know this man?
Uh-huh. Look at his clothes.
See?
Somebody had him hidden away in the barn, looks like.
See? Straw frozen to his clothes.
The stable is your department, isn't it, P.O.?
Well, see, I am one who take care of horses. I am one who pitch the hay and clean out the stable. I am one.
And you've been working around the barn for a week and haven't seen anything of this body before?
No, senor. This is first time I see body.
Who do you think brought the body up here and dumped it on Miss Stark's bed?
Somebody with very sinful heart, I bet you. Somebody who was one bad fellow.
You know, P.O., I'm getting more and more interested in your stable out there.
It's not my stable. It's Mr. Stark's stable.
Jones, bring that blanket over here.
Yeah, but don't expect me to touch that.
Here, give it to me. We'll wrap it up and put it down the tool shed with the others and And then you know what we're going to do, Pio?
No, senor.
We're going to go down and explore the stable.
It's barely cold out, Packard, and still snowing.
Do you have any objections, Stark?
No. No, certainly not.
I had tunnels to drift against tunnels and had dug paths to stable, so it would be no trouble.
Good. Okay, roll them over onto the blanket, Doc.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, wait.
What?
Look it. Lock it on a little silver chain around his neck.
Ay, mamacita mia. His little silver locket.
Quiet, everybody. Ben, did you shoot off those guns?
Yeah. Somebody threw something through the window. I shot before I thought.
What did you shoot at?
I saw something dark bobbing up and down in the snow out there.
Jack, look at here.
What?
That silver locket on the chain? It's gone. Somebody yanked it off of his neck.
Ay, mama diablo. This is work of devil, you bet.
This has been a presentation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater. I Love a Mystery was written by Carlton C. Morse. This was Book 25, Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge, directed by Marge Lutton, assisted by Greg Porter, and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Cole Hornaday as Jack Packard, Reynaud LaBeouf as Doc Long, with Joy Jackson as Jerry Booker, Melinda Maines as Gail Stark, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Pio, Greg Porter as A.J. Ben and the narrator, Dan Schindler as J. Irving Stark, Kim Turner as Mansfield. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Welt. Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge was originally broadcast on May 22 to June 14, 1951. I'm Pat McNally, whom you also heard as Bruce Garrett and Jones the Butler. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Aw, gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more podcasts. You know, we put up a new one every month, and we're planning to have an old-time radio marathon on April 30, so mark your calendars. Thanks for listening. Hey, see you next time. Over to you, Louise.
Okay, Joy, thank you very much, and great work. You set them up, now it's my turn to knock them down. Well, folks, it is that time again when we unfortunately have to wrap things up and shut it down and close up the studio for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But don't worry, I've said it before, and I will keep saying it again and again. We will be back again next week. All you need to do is come back and join us. You know where, you know when, and you know how. As always, if you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them to the honcho of MSS, Miguel Amaro, MSS Director. He can be found at mikeameli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI @earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and you know it. Goodbye.